listening to Linda Sims, and the name of my program is called A Voice of a People, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio Live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, and computers, and search WWGH, and you will have the opportunity to listen to the many programs that we have to offer you. If you would like to call in, if you have any questions or comments, the telephone number here at the station is 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic, LLC, Hose Specialist, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month. If you missed October the 13th, you will have to wait until November the, November 10th. So, and you know, November is Thanksgiving time, holiday time, and if you know of anyone in need of produce, please share this announcement with them. All you need to do is show up. Make sure you provide your name and number of people in your family. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. They are out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. I was going to share. You brought the early voting information with you. I'll let you take care of that, Tim. That's my guest today, Tim Combs, political historian and former history teacher here in the Marion City School Systems. I have a thought for you today. Think positive. Train your mind to keep calm and stay positive in every negative situation. And I'm saying, I picked this one because it's voter time. And we have a lot of chaos going on throughout the United States and also in the state of Ohio and even in your local cities and counties. And Tim is here. Like I said, he is the political historian. I'd like to have him to come in because he knows so much about the political field. He himself has also ran for office in the past. A couple years ago, that's been now, hasn't it?
Yeah, Tim? A few years then. It was on city council for years and was on the Board of Elections for 8 years.
So. Right. So how you been?
Fine. Good. Nice day out.
Yes, it is, isn't it? So. Sure is. And I know you have a lot of information to share with us, but why is this so much hype about this election? Why is it so important?
Well, of course, we're under in a different kind of period. Needless to say, I think the current president we have is a different kind of president than I think we've maybe ever seen in American history, certainly in more recent American history. And he... You know, usually you think of a president trying to bring people together, trying to do things to reach out to unite the country or at least whatever.
Right.
This president doesn't seem to do that. He seems to simply go with what they call his political base, and he really doesn't try to reach out across the aisle or with anything else. And he's been controversial. Again, going back 2 years, I think it was surprising to a lot of people that he got elected. And so now, 2 years later, we are in what they call the midterm election for the entire House and a third of the Senate and a whole lot of governorships and legislative seats. And, of course, local offices have been or all across the country. So it's just a different time.
Right, right.
And as you said, this is, of course, 2 weeks from today, November 6th is General Election Day. Mm-hmm. But early voting actually began back on October 10th at 8 a.m. And people can go to the Board of Elections and vote there in person. Or if they've received a mail ballot, can mail it back into the Board of Elections. Or some people I've noticed, I am a Democratic Party observer up at the board. And some people have got their ballot in the mail, but rather than mail it back, they have actually brought their ballot to the board office. But you can do that way. That way you don't have to worry about it getting lost in the mail or anything else. You can just bring it right to the board office. Or, as I say, a lot of people come in and that's what my wife and I think we're going to do the next day or two, or actually go to the board office and vote, because they have the touch screens up there and vote there. So, this year is, of course, is an important year. Here in the state of Ohio, we are electing all of our state officials, of course, local officials and issues and what have you. I brought with me the Lincoln Voters Candidates Guide, which they put out every year, in fact, in the fall. And and last week they had their candidates night out at Hardin High School. Of course, beginning with the top, we have the race for governor. Okay. And we are electing a new governor this year. Our governor Kasich has served 2 terms. That's all he can serve, consecutive terms. So we elect the governor and lieutenant governor run as a joint ticket. The Democratic candidate is former state attorney general, former state treasurer, former head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission or Bureau, Richard Cordray, and his running mate is former Congresswoman Betty Sutton. They are the Democratic candidates. The Republican candidates are Mike DeWine, their current state attorney general, former U.S. senator, former congressman, and so forth. And his running mate is the current Secretary of State, John Husted. You vote for one, and they run together the ticket.
Okay.
You cast one vote for that ticket. Then there are 2 other groups of candidates running, Constance Goodell Newton and Brett Joseph from the Green Party, which is an environmental group, and Travis Irvine and Todd Grayson of the Libertarian Party. So you don't hear a lot about them. They'll get some votes, but I think it's safe to say that either Mr. Cordray or Mr. DeWine is going to be the next governor. Attorney General, we elect, of course, State Attorney General, the state's top law enforcement officer. That position is vacant this year because Mr. DeWine has been the state AG for the last 8 years. He cannot run again. So we have Steve Dettelbach, former U.S. Attorney for Northern District of Ohio, is the Democratic candidate. And the current state auditor, Dave Yost, is the Republican candidate for State Attorney General. He's a former Delaware County prosecuting. Auditor of State, of course, this is the person that checks all the finances of the state and so forth. There's a 3 candidate. Robert Coogan is the Libertarian candidate, who you hear very little about.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican candidate is the current Senate President, Keith Faber. And the Democratic candidate is a former congressman and current attorney, Zach Space, is the Democratic candidate. He's from the New Philadelphia area. Secretary of State. This position is basically the state's chief elections officer, but they have other responsibilities, but that's certainly a major one. State Representative Kathleen Clyde is a Democratic candidate. She has spent her 8 years in Columbus. She's an attorney by profession, on election issues and voting issues and so forth. State Senator Frank LaRose is the Republican candidate. He likewise has dealt with election issues. And then Dustin Nana, who is the Libertarian candidate, and again, probably will hear very little of anything about that gentleman.
Right.
Treasurer of State, this has just 2 candidates running. Rob Richardson, who is a Cincinnati attorney, is the Democratic candidate, and the current state representative, Robert Sprague, is the Republican candidate. So that's your state officials being elected. In addition, this year, Ohio elects one of its 2 United States senators, and the current Senator Sherrod Brown, the Democrat, is running for re-election, and he is being challenged by Congressman Jim Renacci, the Republican candidate. And then we also have 2 seats in the state Supreme Court to be elected. Now, these people have been nominated in a partisan primary, but they run it without a party label in the general election. The one seat for Justice of the Supreme Court, Craig Baldwin is the Republican and Michael Donnelly is the Democrat. Mr. Baldwin is a current appellate court judge in the 5th District Court of Appeals, and Mr. Donnelly is currently a common police court judge in the Cuyahoga County Common Police Court. And the other position, and one is the January 1, one is the January 2 terminal. I don't know which one is which. They'll be on the ballot that way. Is the current Justice Mary Geronimo. She was named back in January when William Sweeney resigned to run for governor. If you're a judge and you decide to go for a partisan office, you have to resign your judicial office at that point. And the Democratic candidate is appellate court judge Melody J. Stewart. And again, they were without a party label.
Okay.
Then we, of course, will be electing representatives to Congress. In the Marion County, we actually have two congressional districts that we're part of. Most of Marion County is in the 4th district, and the current Republican congressman, Jim Jordan, is running for re-election, and he's being challenged by Democrat Janet Garrett. Mrs. Garrett is running this the third time. This race is getting a lot more attention than it usually gets.
Okay.
There have been TV ads on the air, which is, I can't even remember the last time there were TV ads in the 4th district race. Whoa. And it's got, Mr. Jordan has got a little higher profile because he was involved with what's called the Freedom Caucus in the Republican House leadership. And then part of Marion County, and this got part of a lot of attention back in the summer when there was this race for the short term. Now for the full term, you have now current Republican Congressman Troy Balderson, former state senator, being challenged by the Franklin County recorder Danny O'Connor, the Democratic candidate. And then there's a Joe Banachek, who is the Green Party candidate. But those names sound familiar because they were on the ballot back in August for the unexpired term. Now they're running for the full term starting in January.
All right.
And then we also have two state representatives from Marion County. Most of Marion County is in the 86th House District, and that seat is going to be open this year because the current representative cannot run again. Glenn Goebel is the Democratic candidate. Tracy Richardson, who is from Marysville, is the Republican candidate, and Taylor Huffman is a Libertarian candidate. I believe he's from someplace in Marion, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
And then the other representative position is the 87th District, which represents part of Marion County, the northern part of the district, and then into Wyandotte and Crawford counties. Roden T. McLean is the Republican candidate, and Mary Pierce Broadwater is the Democratic candidate. And then, of course, we do have our local offices, county offices.
Right.
This year, one of our county commissioner seats is up. County Commissioner Kenneth Stuyvesant, a Republican, is running for his third term. And he is being challenged by Democrat Tara Dyer, former retired school teacher from the Marion City Schools. I've known Tara for forever. She and I are both retired from the city schools. We do elect the county auditor, but the current county auditor, Joanne Kasotis, who's a Democrat, is unopposed for re-election, so no contest there. We're also in a race for prosecuting attorney, which normally we don't do in the midterm, but due to the death a year ago of Brent Yeager, the Republican Central Committee at that time named Ray Grogan to be the prosecutor. He's having to run now for the remaining 2 years of the term, and he is being challenged by local defense attorney Jeff Ratliff, who's a Democratic candidate. I think it's safe to say that is probably the highest profile local race you're seeing. Signs, billboards, radio ads, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of contention. And the
commissioner's race is also getting a lot of attention, too, but
yes.
Probably the prosecutor attorney's race is the one that's getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two judicial contests. And again, one is the January 1 term, one is the January 2 term. I believe the race involving Judge Jim Slagle is for the January 1 term. And I'm not, let me just check that here real quick, because I don't want to get people confused if I am wrong on that. Let's see.
Because I thought Mark Russell was running.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk about it here in just a second. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find. I'm checking this real quick, and I can't seem to make the find the the terms, because one of the January 1 term, one is the January 2 term. Okay, yes, the Judge Jim Slagle's run for re-election to the January 1 term, and he is being opposed by Warren T. Edwards. Now, again, they run without party label. Mr. Slagle got the Democratic nomination. Mr. Edwards filed as an independent candidate, but again, they have no party label.
Okay.
Then for the January 2 term, this is the term of the seat currently held by Judge William Finnegan, who chose to retire. And the again, the Democratic candidate without party label is Mark Russell, who is the current city law director. And the Republican candidate is Jason Warner, who is currently the magistrate in the Marion Municipal Court.
Okay.
And they are the candidates there. So that's your candidates that are out there. Issues, there's one statewide issue that is getting, of course, a lot of attention. State Issue 1. And this is the issue dealing with the matter of, and this is a controversial issue.
Yes.
Has to do with the matter of drugs. And I would, in fact, let me just give you the title of it as it will appear on the ballot.
Right.
To reduce penalties for crimes of obtaining, possessing, and using illegal drugs is proposed constitutional amendment. And they have here what it would do. And then also a series of arguments for and against the proposal. A lot of discussion on this issue, and then so that's the one statewide issue. Then, of course, locally there are various local school issues and so forth, which people in their local areas can deal with. So that's where we're at. We're, as I say, a lot of voting. Frankly, the turnout so far, at least early voting, is going extremely strong. Not only in Ohio, but throughout the country.
I saw the long lines.
Yeah,
on
in many areas.
National news.
Of course, the big issue this time is the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans have had complete control over the last 2 years
right.
in the National Congress. All indications are that the Democrats will likely win control of the House of Representatives.
You think so?
It looks as if, and actually for the last, I'd say, 6 months to a year, I had been predicting they would gain a net gain of 40 seats, and that's just about where it's coming in at.
Oh, wow.
235 to 200, probably.
That's good news.
Now, the Senate
mm-hmm.
Has a 51 to 49 Republican majority. Probably the Republicans may well hold that Senate majority, although I could see a real possibility the Senate could end up being split 50-50. In other words, Democrats would actually make a gain of one seat, but it would be split 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, it would remain under Republican control because Vice President Mike Pence, in his role as Vice President,
mm-hmm.
the Constitution gives the Vice President one job.
One.
President
yeah.
of the Senate, he'd be the tie-breaking vote on the control.
Right.
But let me just say that. We had the situation in 2000 when George Bush was elected
mm-hmm.
president, and for about the first 5 months until one of the senators from Vermont shifted from Republican to Independent and then began caucusing with the Senate Democrats.
Okay.
It's almost control in name only because of the 50-50 split in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they even make the committees even. I mean, it's that's the way it is because we have 100 senators. It's possible you could get an even split.
Right.
But that way. So that's where we're at. Democratic enthusiasm has been sky high for a lot of opposition to Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah, ever since he
now, there's been
president.
Some Republican enthusiasm built up here recently, but, it's a hot and heavy campaign time, and mm-hmm. as I say, all kinds of yard signs and billboards and certainly commercial and television. I mean, you're certainly seeing all that and all the money being spent on that. Radio ads, what have you. And so that's where we're at.
Wow, it's so much contention.
Yes. And again, I would say
election.
If you are a registered voter, you need to get out and vote.
Yes.
And a lot of people are early voting, which is great. That way you don't have to worry about the weather on election day or if you get sick or anything like that. You can manage your convenience. Start
True.
On the 10th of October. And open voting or early voting will continue until the day before the election on November 5th,
okay.
Which will stop at, I believe it's at 2 o'clock, I believe, in the afternoon on the day before the election. So this weekend is when the polls will begin opening on Saturday. I'm not sure about the Sunday hours yet. If the Sunday hours may start, you may have something there on that.
Well, that would be November 4th. I have that.
Okay, November 4th. I don't know if that's the only time, only Sunday 1 hours.
1 p.m. to 5.
Okay.
November 4th on Sunday. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the soul to the polls day?
That's what it's usually referred to that, yeah. A lot of people, some church groups, what they do is they'll have church services in the morning, may have like a dinner of some sort, and then they get people on the buses, they go down to their local board of elections or wherever, and cast their votes at that time, so.
And I heard on the news that, what was that, last week or a week and a half ago, they were turned around?
It was in Georgia. There's been some issues in Georgia about, you have an interesting situation in Georgia.
Right.
The Republican candidate by the name of Brian Kemp is the current Secretary of State of Georgia, which again is the Chief Elections Officer. He's the Republican candidate for governor.
Right.
His opponent is former State Representative Stacey Abrams, African-American lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she is running a very strong race. Now, Georgia has a very interesting law. Our daughter and her family live outside of Atlanta, so I'm going to take an interest in that race. In Georgia, you have to get, for statewide, I'm not sure about local, but at least statewide candidates have to get basically 50% plus one in terms of the election. If you don't, then there has to be a general election runoff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be like December 4th. There is, in fact, a Libertarian candidate in that race. And they're probably going to get 2-3% of the vote. But because these other two candidates are running so close together, that could be enough to prevent either one of them from getting the 50% plus one to get the absolute majority in the general election. They'd have to go into a runoff in December then.
Right.
So, you have, of course, around the country, Senate races, congressional races. My view is I believe that Mr. Cordray is going to end up winning the governorship, I think for three reasons. Two of them have to do with issues that have developed in the election now. One actually had to do with something that Mr. DeWine did back last winter. Let me talk about the two current races. The issue that has been run in the Cordray campaign, and it has been run in ads all over the country, is the issue about the pre-existing conditions on medical care.
Okay.
That has, I think, hurt Republicans greatly. Even somebody like it was George Bush's political aide that said this, if they didn't have an answer for that, they were going to get hurt big time.
Yeah.
That, and then also the current one that he's running about, that Mr. DeWine had filed a suit over overtime pay issues and so forth, I think he heard that. But there's another issue that happened. Actually, this is a decision that Mr. DeWine made back in January of this year that I think is now coming home to hurt him. And that was when he and Mr. Husted, who at the time was running against him for the nomination for governor, decided to join forces with Mike DeWine for the governorship and John Husted for lieutenant governor. And the thinking was that would consolidate their forces for the primary and then for the general election. The fact he did not name a woman as a remnant for lieutenant governor, I think, strategically was a mistake.
Okay.
Because it turned out he ended up having a very significant primary challenge anyhow from State Auditor Mary Taylor in the primary. Well, now, he won the primary, but she did make a significant challenge. Mr. Cordray chose former Congresswoman Betty Sutton from the Akron area. She's running mate. Probably going to help him with women voters.
Yeah, because a lot of women are standing up, you know.
So, yeah. So that's where we're at on that. As I say, it's issues out there. You know, of course, you know, got this caravan of people coming from Central America up. I mean, it's in many ways a very sad situation. These people are out of Honduras, Guatemala. There, of course, the conditions there are wretched for the most part. People have very little employment.
Right.
Whatever. And I don't know how you know, they're walking, and it's rather pretty hot and humid. And it's a difficult thing. And men, women, children, several thousand, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000. And no question is how, but they get to the border, it could be weeks before they get to the border because they're walking. It's still like 1,100 miles.
Oh,
that'd be like from here to, I don't know, probably southern Florida, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and you're walking that. Yeah, it's difficult to say the least.
You said a caravan.
You know, it's interesting. You know, the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
And Emma Lazarus' famous poem about some of you're poor, you're tired, huddled, willing to be free, or huddled to be free, and so forth. And this
That's
current
our
administration.
Symbol, right?
Yeah, this current administration has just got to turn their back on that whole thing. We are a nation of immigrants.
True.
And, you know, it's interesting. Until the end of the 19th century, we had no laws on immigration laws. Mm-hmm. Basically, as long as you could get to the United States, you were able to get here.
Right.
And it was only
welcomed.
It only began to change when at the end of the 1880s, 1890s, mm-hmm. up to that point, most of the immigration had been from Northern Europe, Germanic, Anglo-Saxon background.
Mm-hmm.
Then it began to shift towards Eastern and Southern Europe, more Catholics, Jews, olive-skinned people, and that's when kind of the white majority at that time decided we needed to put some laws
in
place.
Do something
about
it, yeah. Too
and that's when we began immigration laws. And those laws have evolved over years. And there's, you know, of course, we still have some controversial issues about children being separated from their families. And so we'll have to see how that all plays out.
So that reduced itself down to discrimination.
Yeah, that could
be.
Because
of the kind of people, well, color of skin and nationality, Jews mm-hmm. and olive color skin or even black color skin mm-hmm. or dark, you know. No, don't want them here. Not so many. We got enough. You know, maybe that's what they think.
So, those issues. Let me just also say, in terms of why I'm saying feeling that a Democratic House majority is going to likely be coming about, what is called the generic ballot. And this is where the various polling organizations ask people, they get a sampling of people from the country, which party would you vote for your candidate for Congress? Democrat or Republican, mm-hmm. or maybe third party, whatever. And the Democrats have maintained a lead of about 9, 10, 11 points over a year now. In fact, I don't think there's been a single survey out there that has shown a Republican lead. And generally, in the midterm election, the party or in the presidency loses seats. And particularly when the president's approval rating is mid to low 40s, which is where Mr. Trump has been and where like he's going to remain.
Yeah, looks like
he's, that equates, and it's very much where people are at on terms of the president, because usually it's a referendum on the president.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Mr. Trump does not, I mean, he has a certain support, but it's major opposition. And there's, you know, this time there is no electoral college to save him like there was 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
It's all strictly direct popular vote.
That's what it's going to be for 2020?
Well, 2020, of course, the presidential election, you have the Electoral College then.
That's what I thought.
It's in play then, yeah.
Yeah. So. I look for him to get another term. I really do. I may be wrong.
Well, the only thing is, if he has a low approval that rating, we'll have to wait and see who the Democratic candidate is.
Yeah.
But
he's going into his third year, January, right?
Oh, yeah, he'll be into his third year. This January will have been 2 years he will in the presidency in his third year, yeah.
That's my prediction because, you know, the evangelicals, mm-hmm. the Christians are really pushing.
Yeah. Well, let's say he's
hoping to turn over Roe versus Wade. That's what the Supreme Court was all about, the elections of.
Well, I think if that happens, if we have that, there's going to be a major backlash if that happens because it's going to. I mean, we hear a thing that settled law. Well, we've had several Supreme Court decisions in recent years that have seen settled law overturned on its head.
Right.
And if that was overturned, I would think that would be a major.
Yeah.
It would be,
That's true. And then you have the other issue that they are supporting, the gay and lesbian agenda. Mm-hmm. They are behind that. They're really pushing him on that. So now I think it's down to healthcare, whether when they go to the hospital or mm-hmm. whatever,
yeah.
are the insurance companies going to give them insurance? Or
well, see, this is the pre-existing, that's why I say the pre-existing condition thing, I think, has hurt the Republican Party significantly. They've been hurt big time. And I think that's one of the major reasons I think Mr. DeWine will lose the governor's races because of that very issue right there.
Yeah, that's a lot of power to put on, to have, and have that all, turned the opposite way then. What President Obama did. And see, that's also like a sore mm-hmm. thumb. Whatever he did, they want erased. Affordable.
And there's, idea they're trying to go after all the medical care or Medicare, all those kinds of issues.
Yeah, there
Social
you go.
Security. I think that's just a losing issue for them at that point. So.
You do think so?
But,
well, they have weakened it some, haven't they?
Well, some issues have been approved that have made some changes, but mm-hmm. so far the basic law still remains in place at this point. So.
Okay. All right.
But let me go back for a moment. I mentioned here a few minutes ago issue one, which is, let's say, the...
Yeah, let's talk about that a little more.
Talk about that, because it's an issue that is out there. The Ligonier voters, they had the proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot, the language. And then they have arguments for it and against the issue. And I'm not going to try to read all these, but let me just pull out one yes issue and one no.
Okay.
One yes argument, one no argument. So let's talk about one yes argument, this issue. Okay. Yes on issue one puts our public safety dollars to better use. Wasting law enforcement resources in prison on people struggling with addiction makes no sense. Issue one requires misdemeanors instead of felonies for low-level drug possession offense and requires community service. Treatment or local jail instead of state prison for people convicted of these crimes or who break probation rules, such as missing a meeting. Treatment and supervision work better to improve the public safety than a revolving prison door.
Right.
That's one of the arguments for it. Let me talk about one of the arguments against it.
Okay.
This one says, issue one undermines treatment. And this is a no argument.
Mm-hmm.
Treatment for addiction is not provided or required by this amendment. An addict is on his own and getting sober. Court connects addicts to treatment and help motivate success. Many addicts forego treatment entirely without the threat of prison. The proposal dooms effective treatment efforts in courts across Ohio. So those are the arguments. People can read these for themselves. And
right.
There's a lot of discussion, a lot of issues on it. I guess I would prefer that it not be a constitutional amendment. I'm guessing the reason they did this was they didn't want the legislature then to come in, if it was what they call an initiated law, and change the law at some point down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, this even the opponents, persons who are against amendments, say they can see where the people who are for it have maybe the best intention, but they feel that they're going about it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
This whole opioid crisis, whatever, you know, is need to say, very just, you know, bad.
Yes, it is.
And
bad.
There are two ways issues can get on the ballot in Ohio.
Right.
One is for the General Assembly to put a proposed law or a proposed amendment on the ballot. Or if the General Assembly doesn't act, then a group of citizens can organize and through an initiative petition measure, put a proposed law, or in this case, a proposed constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
They had to go out and get thousands of signatures to put the issue before the voters.
Right.
And they did that, and now this is what the people will be voting on. So we'll see what happens. And I know there are arguments, there have been ads running for issue one approval. So far, I have not seen any vote no ads. Maybe they'll be coming the next 2 weeks or so. But I have not seen anything so far. It's been the vote yes issues.
Right. I understand that, too, because it's cheaper as far as money is concerned to have some type of concession for people.
And, again, this is where the issue about what money is going to be saved,
right,
whatever.
Right.
I mean, you can have – I think good people on both sides can probably disagree on these issues.
Right.
But I guess in some ways I find myself making this observation. Let's say issue one is defeated. So what's going to change? Well, presumably nothing. I mean, presumably we'll continue to do what we've been doing. There's and you've probably heard this phrase before, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I'm not saying that if you vote no on an issue when you're insane, but
I'll
say I've decided on every issue and Canada, I'm voting except this one thing. This is the one I'm still struggling with, this one issue at this point on issue one. So,
well, I know a lot of lives would be at stake because, you know, some people more than others find themselves, all it is about is going to prison. You know,
mm-hmm.
They may get a chance or two. I'm not going to say they're not given chances, but some are not. And they say the African-American population is higher than any other race of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we value our young men and women also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would like for them to have a chance. And sometimes it's just a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think you can find another way of making your means or you know, having money and having a house and things like that, because these young people are being sought out.
Mm-hmm.
They even go on people's jobs and entice them to sell drugs and like that. You know, and it's kind of unfair. If we could get the big man and put him there, I think that would answer a whole lot of problems, because you can find people who have their mind set on doing something different, and they are oppressed with these other people flashing this big money.
Here's the thing. Here's the problem. It's a matter of supply and demand.
True.
The demand for drugs in the United States is just incredible.
Yes,
and
it
frankly,
is.
Some of this I put on the pharmaceutical industry. You look at the ads on TV about different kinds of things that I think it's efforts to try to get people to put pressure on the doctor. Well, look, I saw this ad on whatever, on some sort of a particular condition you might have.
Right.
Why don't you give me that and whatever? And maybe they're not, they shouldn't have it, or the doctor doesn't want to do it.
That's true.
And, you know, and so I, you know, the billions and billions and billions of dollars is just incredible. And, you know, you know, we had the situation down in Southern Ohio here about 3 or 4 years ago now, there, 2 years ago, with the eight family members that were killed in Pike County, the Roden family.
Okay.
Now, it hasn't really been said, but I think anybody looking at that, it had to have been somewhat drug related.
Oh, yeah.
And,
of course.
I mean, that's a case that is still, of course, unsolved. Mm-hmm. It's now been almost 2.5 years since it happened. And this next day will be 3 years, and I'm not sure it's ever going to be solved. There have been little things here and there, or whatever, but it's, you know, whoever, and I mean, I doubt if it was just one person that was involved with that murder.
True.
I'm guessing it was a group or more than one.
True.
And, I mean, it's, you know, my guess is the people that committed that crime are long gone, probably out of the country.
That's true.
And there have been different things about different breaks, but nothing has panned out. And
like you say, supply and demand.
And I'm going to guess this next April, when they have the third anniversary of that particular crime, they're almost going to be closer to solving it than they were the day after it happened.
Right, because it doesn't look like drugs are going anywhere.
No.
You know, they're just not going anywhere. And if you can get some of those big people pushing these drugs, but then again, like you say, you get hurt, you go to the doctor or the hospital, there you go.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they just have the mentality of addiction.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, that's true.
Now, see, and I'm the type of person, I don't like pills.
Yeah.
I don't like taking them, you know. Yeah. But some people, they take a few pills and they're, I got to have another one of them, you know. Yeah. They may not even be hurting anymore.
I mean, I'm on several prescriptions myself, but I mean, you know, you don't, the amount of prescriptions is just incredible in some ways.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And again, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, wonder drugs, whatever, but
we'll see how things turn out here in a few weeks, right?
Well, like I say, so far the early voting has just been, well, in fact, some of the early voting in some of these states, and then Ohio for that matter, is almost reaching presidential number levels, which you would not expect. I mean, I mentioned about the Georgia race. Well, Rachel Maddow on her program last week was comparing the first 3 days, this week ago Monday was when Georgia began their early voting.
Okay.
Was comparing the first 3 days compared to the first 3 days of 4 years ago, which would have been the last comparable election.
Right.
Well, 4 years ago, in those first 3 days, something like maybe 55,000-60,000 people had voted. First 3 days of this past week in Georgia, it was like 215,000.
Whoa.
I mean, it was just, you know, incredible.
I think that's exciting.
Yeah, and as I say, I mean, that's you know, interest there and so forth.
Yeah, it is.
And people wanting to get in and get voted.
People are hyped up, you know, they want to change.
Yeah, well, the desire for some changes happening.
Yes.
As I said, we have a very tight, hot contest for prosecuting attorney in Marion County.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'll see how that race comes out and whatever between these two
candidates.
The governor's race and so forth. Yes. Now, the Senate race, frankly, Mr. Brown has had a rather considerable lead for months now. And generally, in fact, is Sherrod Brown. Okay. In fact, the Republican Party has pretty much written off that race. They're not going to win it. So they've diverted their resources to other contests. Mr. Renacci has not received any money, at least any appreciable amount of money from the Senate Republican Campaign Committee, because they've, and that's really the big thing. And then, frankly, Democrats have been raising huge amounts of money, just incredible, which is a little unusual for Democrats. They usually tend to be struggling for funds, but they have had a huge amount of money, and in these closing weeks and so forth.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of Democrats think that they stole the election.
Yeah, well, I know that there was, you know, I think because of the fact that Mr. Trump received fewer popular votes, like about 3 million fewer popular votes.
Yeah.
And yet, because of the way the vote distributed in the Electoral College, he was able to get them, which is what actually makes the president.
Right.
This time, as I say, there is no Electoral College this time. Everything is direct popular vote.
Right.
And, so,
wow, it's exciting to see people being a part of the system.
Well,
than presidential voting,
Yeah, it's a democracy, and that's what you hopefully
exercise
have.
Exercise your voice, let it be heard.
So,
So, Tim, have given you the days that you can vote, and believe it or not, we're out of time.
Think so.
Yeah, but thank you so much for coming, Tim, and sharing with us everything. And I told you, he knows what he's talking about. He is the political historian. I love to have him on my show. You have been listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And remember, Monday we will be doing a story on haunted houses for Halloween. Okay? So thank you. Until next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to. And I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the voice of one of the greatest villains in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. And along the way, she did a lot of great game shows and television series, and worked with people like Jimmy Durante, Gloria Swanson, Danny Thomas, Sid Caesar. The list goes on and on. She is amazing, the amazing Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Now I'm going to have to be a because you said so much about me nice. But I'll tell you, Scott, it's one of the easiest things in the world. And I wish with all the things they have going on about doing this and doing that, if we were all just more kind to each other. Think of yourself in relationship to other people. And they go through the same things you do. And just be kind. It's so easy, it's so simple, and I've seen rooms change because somebody was kind. And that's a great impact.
Pat, as we end this interview, and I always hate to say goodbye, but you say you love to sing. I love your voice. Can you give us a little line of something as we part ways here?
A song?
Any song you like.
Did you ever go into an Irishman shanty where whiskey is whist? And the boozeberry is plenty. The table is set with a door and a hatch in the door. The house is shut with a latch.
Pat Carroll, I adore you. Please come back
in. I adore you back, Scott. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking like for exclusive content. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair. Marion Midget Football concluded its 47th season on Sunday with Championship Sunday. In the Pee Wee Championship game, the Giants, coached by Kurt Easterday, defeated the Jets, coached by John Bright, 14-13. The Vikings, coached by Dan Albright, defeated the Lions, coached by Eric Keller, 19-0. And in the 47th championship game, the Jets, coached by John Bright, defeated the 49ers, coached by Kurt Easterday, 32-0. Marion Midget Football would like to thank Tammy Brammer, who's our head cheerleader advisor, Patty Worcester, our treasurer, and Martha Douse, our secretary. Patty and Martha have both been with the program for 37 years. We thank them for their service and continued effort. Marion Midget Football would also like to thank all the parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and family members who come to cheer the Marion Midget Football teams each and every game. Hope everybody had a great 47th year, and see you next season.
This is Patty Worcester with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hi, are you looking for a church that is Bible teaching and Bible believing? I invite you to Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We were at 209 East Water Street. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning. Evening service at 6:30, along with youth group at the same time. We do have a midweek service. You can reach us at 740-494-2222 or prospectccf.com. We'd love to have you come and visit and get plugged in and see that there's true hope for tomorrow and hope in your life. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games.
This is Judge Jim Slagle, joining with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM to encourage you to vote starting October 10 at the Board of Elections office or on Tuesday, November 6 at your polling place. Paid for by Slagle for Judge.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com and watch out for the chopper. Vanover Square Apartments, address 465 Merchant Avenue,
offer 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Phone number 740-389-3462.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM.
Lose your head at Ohio's newest and most exciting Halloween attraction. The Sleepy Hollow Experience invades Haunted Mountain this fall in an immersive theatrical nightmare that has taken the country by storm. Audiences will be immersed into a world-class production, have their minds boggled in an escape room, and be terrified on a haunted trail, all under the control of the Headless Horseman. Open every Thursday through Saturday in October at 7 p.m. and a performance-only matinee Sundays at 3. Produced by the Scioto Society in association with Brian Cloudus Productions.
In the spirit of Halloween and fall, it's now time for a Halloween poem reading right here on WWGH Radio by Charlie Evers, Marianne Michaels, Martha Dowse, Mary Ellen Withrow, Scott Spears, Marla Gibbs, Mr. McFeely, Pat Carroll, Bud Collins, Hugh Downs, and Robert Guillaume.
Creepy. Bats are creepy. Rats are creepy, cats are creepy too. All out in the dead of night, their eyes are watching you. Birds are creepy, bugs are creepy, trees are creepy too. A wood that's empty's also creepy, with owls that twit and twoo. Thunder's creepy, lightning's creepy, wind is creepy too. The loneliness of outer space would put the creeps in you. Fog is creepy, mist is creepy, the moors are creepy too. Not knowing what is out there can really frighten you. Dolls are creepy, masks are creepy, clowns are creepy too. I'm sure you've got a hidden fear that puts the creeps in you.
Talking Points with Seth Schollinger on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Moral Companies, LLC, leading the way with quality and service. Telephone number 1-800-554-3981, website moralcompanies.com, address Moral Location, 132 Postal Avenue, P.O. Box 26, Morrill, Ohio, 43337, Caledonia Location, 1592 Columbus-Sandusky Road North, Caledonia, Ohio, 43314, celebrating 55 years of service. And now a word from Charlie Evers and Scott Spears.
Hey, Charlie. Did you know that Mayor Jack Kellogg has a great collection of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what his most prized political possession is?
No, Charlie, what is it?
Hillary Clinton's hairbrush. Never been used.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
This is Tara Dyer, and I'm a candidate for Marion County Commissioner. I, along with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, would like to remind you to get out and vote on Tuesday, November 6th. The last day to register to vote is October 9th. Remember, early voting starts on October 10th. This is paid for by the Friends of Tara Dyer for County Commissioner.
This is Glenn Coble, and I'm a candidate for the Ohio State Representative in the 86th District. I, along with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, would like to remind you to get out and vote on Tuesday, November 6th. This message was paid for by Coble for State Rep.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue, Phone number 740-387-9050.
It's now time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Brought to you live from the WWGH Newsroom.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Mayor Scott Schertzer is announcing that leaf collection for city residents will begin Monday, October 22nd and continue through Friday, December 8th. The three options for disposal of leaves by city residents are: place leaves in the tree lawn area to be vacuumed. A vacuum-type collector will collect leaves raked into the tree lawn area, with each street having leaves collected during the leaf pickup season. As a note, it is requested that residents not rake leaves into the streets so water can drain properly into the city storm sewer system and therefore not cause blockage for catch basins and drains. Number two, place leaves in biodegradable paper bags for city pickup, which will follow yard waste pickup limits of 3 bags per week. Residents wishing to bag leaves may do so by placing them in clearly marked biodegradable paper bags sold at local retail stores. The filled bag should be placed at curbside for pickup. The city will continue to follow its yard waste limits of collecting 3 bags and 3 bundles per resident per week. Third, take biodegradable paper bags to 560 Barks Road West. Park Enterprise Construction, located at 560 Barks Road West, is the location of the city's free drop-off site. This location will be open to city residents free of charge. Residents may call 740-223-7275 for Park Enterprise hours of operation. Proof of city residency may be required. Please note, if non-biodegradable paper bags are used, leaves must be emptied from the bag at site. For additional information, contact the Sanitation Streets Department at 740-382-1479. And now turning to weather, Wednesday in the Marion area, partly sunny and chilly, with a high temperature of 48 degrees. Overnight, mainly clear and cold, with a low temperature of 30 degrees. Thursday, sunny to partly cloudy, cool, with a high temperature of 51 degrees, a low temperature of 37 degrees, and rounding out the work week Friday, showers late in the afternoon, with a high temperature of 51 degrees, a low temperature of 40 degrees. Local news and weather every hour here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are supported by Ohio Health.